say that across the board.
For me,
I want that across the board.
And I think I need to get back to space.
Amongst friends. Conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode, chapter of Amongst Friends, internet radio, conversation for the grown and sexy. It's Wednesday, it's 9, we're on, let's go. If you want to call us, 760-683-2662, we'll take your calls. We'll listen to your comments. We'll try to answer your questions. We're beautiful people. You know you want to talk to us. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're here tonight, and our topic is very near and dear to everyone's heart. Our topic tonight is the American dream real? Are we really, really, really free to be all we can be the best we can be? That's our topic tonight here at Amongst Friends. My name is Jeff. I'll be leading you through this discussion, bobs and weaves, questions and comments. And I have with me my normal cast of crazies, these Americans that I love so much, my friends that I am amongst. That's why they're called Amongst Friends. So to get us started, I'm going to read a little ditty here. Feel free to let it sink in and marinate as I pronunciate, and remember to sound out all of my verbs and nouns. The American dream, a set of ideals in which freedom includes the opportunity for prosperity and success, and an upward social mobility achieved through hard work. Now, I want to read a little bit more to you. Life should be better and richer and fuller for everyone, with opportunity for each according to ability or achievement, regardless of social class or circumstances of birth. Now, I want to let that marinate for a little bit. Just let that seep deep into your soul. Let it tingle your fingertips there. And it's going to get real tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to dive into this thing. We're going to chop it up. So I want to start first with Lady Brittany. Lady Brittany, do you feel that the American dream is real?
Well, I would say it depends on what you would define as the American dream, but from what I have read about what the American dream supposedly is, I do believe that it is real. It can be, you know, it can be real, but I think in most people's minds it's not. To me, the American dream is being successful and living an extremely happy life. I do think it's possible, but I think you have to work hard at achieving the American dream. To be successful and to extremely be happy. I don't think anybody's going to be 100% happy with life, but I do think that it is real and it is possible to achieve if you work hard at it. So that's my spiel.
So Jeff.
Yes.
Just so that we're clear and we're all on the same page, are you defining the American dream as Brittany is?
Yes. Yes, I am. I am one with her mind. We have a hive mind going on right now.
Okay, just because you hosted don't mean you can't be put in a corner. Okay? Just wanted to let you know that.
I'm about to be free to put my foot in your mouth and you don't hush.
See what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about right there. All that other stuff that you was doing, need you to keep the noise, son.
And don't be trying to send nobody because you back on the East, kid. You know what I mean?
I'm on the East Coast, baby.
Anyway. But yes, I am with Brittany in her thoughts on being free to try and fulfill the American dream.
I thought the American dream was the white picket fence, the house, the 2.5 kids, the husband,
it is, but
the wife.
Right. Exactly.
I guess it is what each person defines the American dream is. I guess for most it's all about making money and living comfortable to the point where you don't have to struggle anymore.
That ain't my dream.
When you become didn't I just say it depends on the person? Didn't I just say that?
But you looking at your contracts on Facebook, that ain't they dream either.
But I'm not talking, baby, I'm not talking about those. I said it varies on who you talk to. I didn't say it was one specific name. They
dream we talking about. That's
for my opinion, the American dream is living comfortably, being financially set. You're part of that 1% that, you know, that the Republicans are trying to not mess with.
Do what?
The American dream is that guy from, where is he from, Dominican Republic, that just won $300-something million in the lottery. That's the American dream. So it's all how you perceive it.
The American dream.
Hold on. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to get in on this conversation, if you would like to help us define the American dream, if you'd like to offer up what your American dream is, please call us at 760-683-2662. Now, I want to ask this question of Brother Joseph. Brother Joseph, is the American dream real to you, sir? Are you getting your slice of pie and loving it too?
I think the American dream is kind of what you make it. I guess you asked, do I have it? I guess I don't have the dream that it looks like on TV, but do I have, you know, life, what is it, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? I mean, I guess I have that, but it's not the way they kind of portray it on how it looks like on TV or in history books or whatever. I think that American dream or that American reality I don't have, but I have the reality that I make for myself. And do I feel free? Yeah. Do I feel like I'm pursuing happiness? Yeah, sure. But just the whole, oh, you can get out there and you can make your $1 million and you can afford more and you can own your own business and all, you know, all of that stuff. Everything is right there for you. No, I don't really think I see it that way. Especially with America just being as money hungry and as I don't know, as backwards as it really is, I don't think that the dream is as as accessible to everyone as they make it out to be. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Now, Brittany says something which I guess would be the, you know, when you say a statement, you say the operative word is this. I think the operative statement or the operative words in her statement about the American dream was, you have to work hard for it. I believe that everybody can picture a bank account like Bill Gates. However, we all don't have the same background. We all don't have the same drive and go get it. And we don't have the same circumstances for us to come out on that side of the situation when we decide to put our X to the grindstone, to put on our thinking cap, to strive for our quote unquote American dream. So, and then that brings us right back to what Joey said. You know, he has what he has is basically a facet of it, but it may not be what's on TV or what's portrayed on TV. Because I think what they put out there in the public for us, you know, advertisement and movies and stuff like that and TV shows, that's to motivate. And it does to an extent, but I don't think that, you know, when it all comes down to it, you have to decide for yourself if where you are in your life, if you do have the American dream, and is there anything else for you to try and obtain from your hard work. So, did anybody growing up get hit with, you know, in your household growing up, did your parents or grandparents ever hit you with, you know, you have to go out for that American dream? Is that something that your family built into you to go for, or was it just something that, you know, once you hit your 20s, you were just like, okay, I'll put this goal ahead of myself. I'm going to go for this goal, and that's going to be my quote-unquote American dream. And that's for any of you guys.
I don't think, I think what my parents said, you know, you could be anything you want to be, just, I guess the main thing was, you know, get good grades. You know, get good grades equals honor roll. Honor roll equals a high GPA. A high GPA equals your interest in college. You know, good college grades equals a degree, and degree equals, you know, I guess money. So, even though that sounds all well and good, it sounded all well and good at the time. When you go through it, and when you go through, I guess, the obstacles,
right,
it's pretty much what your parents say. I mean, it holds weight, but it doesn't hold as much weight as it did when you were like 8 or 9 years old, when your parents told you. Because everything is a struggle. Everything is a struggle, and it's more that what that is against you than for you. And that's if you're quote unquote underprivileged. You know, if both your parents, you know, work minimum wage or whatever, if you're born into money, and if you're born comfortable, the hurdles are not that difficult. So, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is it held weight when you were a kid, but as you get older, you find that sometimes that you question whether you could do it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fully understand what you're saying, and that's what I'm trying to, you know, to get at. I know in my house. In my household when I was growing up, I didn't get the, you know, my mom didn't lay the American dream spiel on me. She was just basically, I need to give you the basic dynamics of being a good person so that when I turn you loose on the world and you go off and do your own thing and you're living your own life, you're not robbing, stealing, raping, pillaging, you have work ethic. You are playing by the rules. You are living your life some sort of right to where I don't have to worry about coming to get you off the police station. So I didn't get the, you know, you gotta get the American dream, you know, you have to go out there and get the white picket fence and the wife and the 2.5 kids and, you know, a hamster and be able to do
not
that.
Not a hamster.
Not a dog, but a hamster.
But a hamster. Got to be a hamster.
Yeah, I'm not a dog. So I went straight for the hamster. But
you know what?
So I guess the question is, I guess the question is, is it a race thing? I mean, I don't know if my parents said the same thing, saying, you know, the American dream is out there, you know, yes, you know, the White House, the white pickup fence, the white and the 2.5 kids. I didn't get that talk. My parents were like, you know, shit is hard. You know, shit is hard. Work, you know, big or great, you know, and do the best you can. It wasn't that, you know, you're going to marry, you know, this person and you're going to make this, you know, your future's going to be like this. Hell no. And I guess why they probably didn't say that is because they struggle too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I don't think that was their reality. You know?
Mm-hmm. Cue that it's fully a race thing. I mean, I definitely think race may have played a part in race disagreements and things like that may have definitely played a part in American history. I'm not denying that or anything like that, but just where we are now, I do think that here in America we have a form of freedom, and I think that's the freedom to choose. And first of all, in my house, my parents never said anything about the American dream, so to speak, but it was like you said, Q, you work hard. Nobody's going to give anything to you. You got to work for it. But, you know, I also heard in my house that, hey, I love America. I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. But at the same time, I don't believe, you know, my parents, mainly my dad, though, you know, I don't believe in all the stuff that they spit out their mouth towards us. I don't believe all the lies they tell. And I truly believe it's a social Darwinistic attitude. Like, that's what my dad would say. It really is a dog-eat-dog America. Not just a dog-eat-dog world, but he was like, no, it's a dog-eat-dog America. And you have to make sure that whatever you do, you're not the one getting eaten by the craziness out here. And so I just really feel like we have to kind of take hold of where we stand, take hold of what we believe in, and make your own, you know, make your own dreams come true, whether it's the American dream, like Jeff said, the house, the wife, the husband, whatever, the 2.5 kids, the white picket fence, and the gerbil, you know, I don't know, or hamster or whatever he said. Or you pursue your own business, or you work for somebody. Like, I think that's the part about America that I think is great, is the choice. We do have the freedom to choose, but for the most part, if you look at other countries where maybe you might pay more in taxes, but you can go to school for free, you know, where you get free health care, like all of that stuff. I think that's the part of American dream that America is missing out on.
Yeah, right now I'm choosing to let our listeners know that they could call in at 760-683-2662. They can give their comments. They can ask questions about the American dream. Is it real or is it a farce? Is it just a smokescreen for Americans to try and attain something that they can never, ever have? I don't know. I think we can attain it. One of our Facebook friends said that granted money can be considered the root of the American dream. However, the last one creates poverty. And then her question is, but why is it the American dream is centered around money and not character, integrity, and empathy for others? What do you guys think about that? Why do you think the American dream is centered around money?
Because money makes it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Do you think it is? Do you think it is centered around money or not?
Yeah, it all had to do with business. It always had to do with the almighty dollar bill. You know, money means status.
Okay.
So, I wish it would be that way because countries, but you know, it's all about who's making money. You know, the hang up now is everybody is pissed at the United States because we owe China so many billions of dollars. Whereas 20 or 30 years ago, we were the number one quote unquote superpower. We're not a superpower anymore. And I guess in another aspect is, you know, money and status means respect. I don't think, you know, right now, like I said, China is getting a whole lot of respect. I hope that everybody's going to China with whatever. You know, back in the days, everybody, if you were like from a third world country or lower and lower than the United States, you could come to the United States, do your thing, bust out, go back home to your country, and blow up. That's not the case anymore. No, you know, the world is not looking for as America as, you know, status symbol. Not to the point where it was, you know, like I said, 20, 30 years ago, you know, other countries did their lives. So, yeah, money runs the universe. Don't get it twisted. It's not about, it's all about character, integrity, and whatever, but it's all about that almighty dollar, that yen, that euro, that peso. That's what makes the world go round.
Mm-hmm. I just saw another interesting comment coming from my Facebook group. I want to hit you all with this, what this brother said. And he said that education is our passport to the future, for tomorrow belongs to those who prepare for it today. And I like the statement because I do believe in this statement. However, I know right now that there are more than five cats that are right now in a huddled mass under a blanket in D.C., in some part of D.C. up under a building somewhere, homeless. And those cats did exactly what I did. Grade school, high school, college. And they are where they are right now. So, you know, they're going after the American dream. And, again, it's that whole work hard. Sometimes you burn out. And when you burn out, you know, bad things can happen because you no longer have that will to work hard. You have that strive in you that'll keep on pushing you forward. You just throw your hands up and, you know, let life take its toll on you. So I guess that for me, that's the dark side of the American dream, that trying to attain it and trying to keep it and put in that hard work, it can rear its ugly head and turn on you. Do you guys feel the same way, or?
This is what I think, and I would like for everyone's opinion of this too. I think now the disparity concerning the American dream used to be race. It used to be the quote-unquote powers that be, quote-unquote white men, had the power. And all the others, you know, the blacks, you know, the Spanish brothers, immigrants, were, I guess, in the bottom of the barrel. Now, I think it's not so much of racism now, but it's starting to be a thing of class. What you're seeing now is it's like a pyramid. It's like a pyramid. You know, there are more minorities who are, I guess for a better choice of the word, reaching that American dream. And you have along with the minorities at the bottom, you're starting to see, I guess, white people that are really, really, really struggling too. So it's not a thing of race anymore. It's starting to be a thing of class now. So what y'all think? So I guess what I'm saying is more and more people of color are reaching that American dream, whatever that is. But on the flip side of that, the quote unquote majority, and I mean, you know, white people, they're losing their money, they're struggling, and I guess the dichotomy is starting to do 180 degrees.
Well, I mean, yeah, I definitely see that happening. You know, the various stories, news stories that have been coming out as of late, you know, the emergence of, you know, more people who are considered maybe poor white trash coming to the forefront. You got your Honey Boo Boos popping up and, you know, I guess showing that lifestyle in a certain light. And then you have, you know, you have certain, you know, people of color in various different areas. We're no longer, you know, the people, we're no longer the people driving hoopties back and forth. You know, we're going out, we're buying, you know, cars off of the lots, buying them new. We're saving our money to come in with better down payments. We are looking into home ownership more. We are picking up the tips and the tools of, you know, being able to flip houses. We are making better financial decisions. The financial markets, we're dibbling and dabbling in that, stocks and bonds, and it's becoming a normal thing to everyone trying to at some level, you know, try to have a little bit of money working for them while they work for more money to put into this investment that they have. So I definitely see that switch that you're talking about, too. But we have a caller, and I want to get to their question or comment. Anonymous, hello, how are you?
I'm okay, and yourself? Hi, guys, how are y'all this week?
All right, welcome to Among the Friends again. What's your question or comment tonight?
I just wanted to comment on the education part that that the person had texted to you. I agree with the education. And when you said that there is a lot of people in the DMV area that has education, but they're homeless, and I believe that they're homeless by choice, because some people, they reach a point where they can't struggle or they don't want to fight anymore. And so their option is just to give up. You know, we all have been in that area of our life where we struggle. You know, I struggled at 17 years old with a baby, and I had a second baby at 21. But I made up in my mind what I wanted to show my children. You know, so I could have just gave up and lived in the projects and stayed on welfare, but I worked and I showed my kids a different way of life. You know, they weren't, you know, brought up feeling like mom never had anything. Like, they used to think I was rich, but I wasn't. And then it comes to the point where you decide which direction are you going to take. Are you going to get an education, or are you going to continue with statistics of what they say you're going to be? You know, so you got to make up in your mind, and it was hard. You know, I was a single mom, two kids, you know, working and, you know, doing what I had to do. But today I could stand here and say that I have an education now. My kids are in college, you know. And so I could have just took that route to Santa. I could have been a grandmother by now. So it's really the choices that we make and how far we want to push ourselves towards success, you know. So everyone can do it. It just depends on how far you can push your mind to achieve what it is that you want to achieve.
So, but are you at least open to the fact that maybe some people, they obtain so much of the American dream that when it did turn itself on the dreamer, if you will, that it was too much of a wave coming back as a dreamer, meaning it was just too many variables hitting that person, hitting that family, for them to come back from. Is that a realization for you, or do you still feel the same?
I can understand that. You know what I mean? I've been faced at the point where I didn't have money for my light bill. And I just had to figure out how am I going to do it. There's places to call, there was things, you know, programs you can get on. It just really depends on where your mindset is, you know. I know people, I've talked to pastors that said them and their wives and their kids lived in the trunk of their, lived in their car and lived out of the trunk of their car for months because they were homeless, but they still decided to do something about it and change it. I'm not saying that stuff don't happen to people, but when you are to your lowest, you can either do something about it or you can stay there. You know, and not doing something about it might be going to go apply for public housing, get some type of assistance that way, instead of just saying, well, you know what, I hit rock bottom, I'm never going to be anything, and I'm never going to get anywhere. And a lot of it could come from their childhood, too. They, like, once they hit to that point, they feel like there's nothing they can do about it. You know, so stuff, I do believe stuff do happen, but it's really in that person's mindset, whether they stay there or whether they climb themselves out of it.
Okay.
All right, you guys have a good night.
All right, thank you, Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
So we want others to call in and join us in this conversation tonight, so, and you can do that by dialing 760-683-2662. Deidre? The American Dream, race thing or not?
Absolutely not.
And why do you say such a thing, Deidre?
Because, I mean, anybody can do anything. I mean, think about YouTube and social media and all of the things. All you can, and it blow up or do whatever, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's available to anybody. I mean, even with your example of the Honey Boo Boos and the Housewives of Atlanta or the hip-hop, whatever that crap is, I mean, it's available to anybody. How stupid it is, somebody will buy into your stuff about it. You work hard and you do it, it's available. It isn't something that, you know, your parents actually instill in you and all this kind of stuff. Nowadays, just say something and you might become famous and get everything that you ever wanted. I mean, think about this whole Papa Molly, I'm sweating crap. I think that is the stupidest. Okay, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, yes, it is not a race thing.
But that has, I see what you're saying, but that when people get on YouTube or whatever and make a fool of themselves, that has nothing to do with working hard. That's all about what can I do to make a quick buck.
Okay, they may be working hard at that quick buck. I mean, there's people who have been doing this forever.
What is working hard, please? What is working hard with getting doing a video and everybody like it? What's the hard working next?
But you have to think about how they may have gotten to that point. Like, for instance, what Deidre was saying with Trinidad James and the whole compromise and sweating, it's like, okay, well, I know, for instance, like some rappers, you know, that look stupid on the TVs or whatnot and have all these crazy videos, a lot of them do tend to work hard so that we don't know about it. Some of them start off underground. Some of them start off with mixtapes. You know, you have some people who, you know, get discovered and they don't deserve to have a record deal, but their stuff might sound stupid, but they do actually work hard to get to that point. It's just that it's like, okay, well, you have this dumb song out, so how do we know that you... It's like you don't put no effort behind it. You just throw out anything, and it sounds good for a month, and then you don't hear about it anymore. But some artists out there truly do work hard for what they do. It's just that we don't know about it, you know. It's like they have to get their tapes out there. They have to get demos out there. Just like anybody, any other striving artist or somebody who you know, is doing really well in the industry. I do believe that, you know, some of them do work truly hard. It's just that we don't see that because of the kind of material that they put out. It doesn't make sense to us, and it sounds dumb. So it's like, how did you get here? You know, you got this one-hit wonder or whatever. But some of them actually do have to work hard and do a lot behind the scenes in order to get on television, in order to get that hit on the radio.
Yes, yeah, so what you think about that?
I mean, because I have, you know, I know people who are, you know, aspiring rappers, and, you know, sometimes I don't take them seriously, but I know one in particular who is, like, living out of a suitcase and had to quit his job. And, I mean, he's trying hard and working really hard, you know, paying for studio time, I don't know what money, but, I mean, he has a great support team, so it's like, I see that he's working hard, trying to make it big. You know, he puts out good music, but it's like, you don't hear any of it on the radio yet. You know, all you hear are mixtapes, and, you know, all his support are like the fans that he gets, you know, from social media or whatnot. But I do see that he's working hard at his craft, so I just think you have to think about it that way. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes. Some people don't work for anything, and they get put on. And then you have those who truly do work hard. So although Trinidad James put out something horrible, he might really have worked hard. He might really be hustling in the studio or whatever, trying to get where he is now. So that's just something to think about.
No.
Why do you come at it like that, son?
Do you disagree?
I disagree to an extent. Like you said, okay. There are some rappers, quote unquote, entertainment people out there who do bust their ass. With everything that you said. But for the most part, well, I think for the most part, I think some don't want to work hard. They, you know, some are all about that, like I said, get money rich quick scheme. So when they get their money, and they realize how much you have to work, sweat, you know, bleed, whatever, they don't do it because that's they didn't know that part of the hustle. It's like an athlete. An athlete trains, no matter what sport it is, it's 24 hours, 365. It takes dedication to do what they do. And we all know athletes who do that. But we all know athletes who are just, you know, they have the skill, but they don't have the mindset to, I guess, enhance the skill. So they do it. They just do what they have to do to get by, and it works. It works for like a few. It works for like a year or two, but you know, at some point, it becomes soft and lame. So. I'm all off topic. I'm sorry. I'm off topic. The American Dream. Sometimes the American Dream isn't about working hard. It's all about luck.
I'll give you that.
It could be 100% pure luck. Example, hitting the lottery. Everybody, you know, we all know that one person who always played a lottery just to get lucky. Some people do, some people don't. It's all about luck sometimes. And you can work hard, you know, you can work hard, you know, all your life and don't achieve a damn thing and still be struggling. So working hard doesn't automatically mean, you know, you're going to get a piece of this American pie. Because the ones that have it ain't trying to share.
I disagree with that.
I mean, because you can still, I disagree as well, because I think you can still, I think everybody knows that, you know, that one person that they, you know, that one person that they know, without a doubt, they are busting their ass at a piss poor job. But the pride, the joy of being at that piss poor job, it comes off and it comes out of that person. They are so happy that they, first of all, they had that job. Then they are so happy that they're getting paid. I mean, it could be crappy pay, but they're getting paid to do, they're getting paid, whatever they're getting paid to do this crappy job, and they're loving it. They know their coworkers. They are focused on helping their coworkers. They go to work with their heads up high every day, and when they walk out that building at 5 o'clock, or it's the 11 o'clock shift, and they walking up out and they're about to get on the metro, they got their music on and they bopping, I just did a good day's work and now I'm going home to get some sleep. And they almost look like a Bill Gates leaving the building at the end of the day. And like I said, everybody knows that one person that got that piss poor job, getting that crappy pay, but they put stock in something else about that job. And that's what carries them.
Okay.
I mean, because I mean, truth be told, yeah. There's not a whole lot of really mad people working at McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King. Get what I'm saying?
Say that one more time.
There's not a lot of mad people working at those places. Some people are happy to have jobs, dude. You know what I'm saying? When they clock in, it's like, all right, I'm the fry guy today. Let's go. Let's do this. What? I'm on lattes and coffee today. Let's go, son. I got drinks for you. What's the deal? You want a splash of, you want a little bit of vanilla in that? What's going on? What's the deal? How can I make this Big Mac the most special Big Mac this person's ever had, ever? All of that goes into those jobs. And a lot of people would look down at those jobs like, yeah, I remember when I had that crappy job, or yeah, I remember when I worked at McDonald's. Look at me now, though. I got six figures or whatever. But you walk into a McDonald's, ain't nobody, you know, throwing your food at you because they pissed they worked there. Nope. You getting a big old smile. Da-da-da-da-da. Can they go to?
No, they're not. Ain't nobody smiling at me.
You said what?
Ain't nobody at McDonald's smiling at me. Granted, if I go to McDonald's like 10 times, I guess once or twice somebody, you know, greet me, you know, the way that, you know, I'm supposed to be greeted. But all the rest of the times, they're like, you know, how may I help you? You know, that's going off to a whole new different tangent either. But I understand, and in some aspects I agree, and in some aspects I disagree.
Okay. Deidre, was that you saying that you disagree as well, and what you were saying?
Yes, I do disagree, but you touched on some of what I was thinking.
Okay. Okay. So I want to give that special number out for those who want to call and join us, 760-683-2662. Call us. Be amongst friends. So the next question I want to throw out for everybody is, you know, we definitely touched on, you know, whether the American dream is real or if it isn't. My question is, with the, and I guess talking about the freedoms that we have, do you guys consider yourself truly free? I mean, even with all the rules of engagement and how we are to be who we want to be, from laws to how you have to be at work, certain expectations, things like, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. Do you think that we are really free with society's rules upon us or society's shackles?
I think it all depends on what a person's definition of free is. So, you know, I heard someone say, as long as you're working for somebody or something, you're not free. But in the same aspect, you know, those who have their own business, whatever, it's not, they're not quote unquote free either, because for whatever situations that they have to go through. You know, mm-hmm. I think at some point, no matter where you are, you're going to struggle. So I guess the less struggle, the more free you are. Maybe that's it.
At what point does a struggle not? At what point does a struggle become? Yeah, at what point does a struggle become just a challenge and cease to be a struggle? Are we talking Bill Gates money? Are we talking...
I don't know. Jeffrey, I don't know if money is... I don't know if, it all depends on the situation, whether the money plays a factor or not. Because I'm thinking about, for example, like, you know, my president. You know, he's the leader of the free world. But is he really free? Is he free to, is the president of the United States free to do whatever? I mean, there are consequences for being free, I guess. I don't know. Free, it's just, I guess the word free, it's so broad. you know, in one aspect, you could say, you know, we're free because we're not slaves anymore.
Word up on that.
You know? We still struggle to get to the point of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We're still struggling to get there, and not just black people, but black people in general. You know, we're all trying to, no matter what status you are in life, it's a difficult question to answer.
Okay. So we're talking at this point, I feel, to more or less a state of mind. So with talking about state of mind, this question is for the ladies. Do you consider yourself free when there is, you know, society rules for how ladies should be, how they should be, you know, respected in the workplace, how they should dress in the workplace, how they should dress when they're not in the workplace, as far as like going out to, you know, on dates and things like that? Are you considering yourself free? Free to be yourselves?
I consider myself to be free. I mean, I feel like there's a time and a place for everything. So, you know, obviously for work, you have to look professional. I don't ever wake up, you know, wanting to go to work dressed in something that I'd wear to the club. I mean, I have my days where I would like to go in jeans, but, you know, it's like, okay, well, I know I need to, you know, look professional and look a certain way, but that doesn't bother me. So I would say that, you know, I'm free when it comes to, you know, what's expected in the workplace. As far as, like, what I want to wear on a date, I mean, I dress certain ways for certain occasions, so I don't know that there's, like, a norm that you're supposed to, you know, if there's a normal way you're supposed to dress for a date or whatever, but, you know I don't need to go out looking trashy. So I would definitely say that I feel free for the most part as a woman.
Okay. Deidre, do you feel free or do you take on that shutter from Kunta Kinte back in the day every once in a game?
I don't understand.
Deidre, do you feel free or do you sometimes feel like you got shackles on?
No, I'm free. I wear what I want when I want to wear it.
Oh, my God. Thank you for your answer, Deidre. Oh.
You're so very welcome.
My colorful questioning, you just can't decipher. We want to hear from our callers. We know you're out there. 760-683-2662. Joey, in church, are you free to be you, Joey? Or are there church rules and regs that you have to follow in church as well?
Joey tries to go to church.
Joe's relationship is just fine. Thank you very much.
So I'll put this question to you, Deidre, then. In the situation of church, you know, we've tried to, you know, dive into this every once and again, you know, and it pops up. So in church, are you free to be yourself, or do you feel that there are certain church rules and regulations that everyone abides by usually when it comes to dealing with church folk?
Well, initially, my spirituality when I was younger was a little, I'll say when I was younger, there was a lot of bondage and rules and regulations that definitely limited me to the things that I did. But now, yeah, it's accept me for who I am.
Okay. So, let's see here. Let's look at this from let's take on the history aspect. Do you think that the American dream was easier to go after? Do you think it is easy to go after now versus, let's say, in the 1950s, 60s for African Americans?
Well, absolutely, because now African Americans have more rights. So, absolutely.
Okay, so back then you don't think that. Let me ask it this way. So back then, do you think there were still a certain number of African Americans who were at that time still striving within the construct of American rules and society at that time? Do you think they were trying to have the American dream? Or do you think it was just everybody was just, you know, just staying under the radar?
I don't think that they were trying to stay under the radar. I think that they were, you know, there were individuals who were definitely trying to, you know, achieve things for their families and stuff like that. But, you know, when you're considered less than, there's really not a lot that you can do. I mean, no, it's not that you couldn't do that, because a lot of African Americans did wonderful things back then. But I'm saying that they were limited. But just as I was saying to Q earlier, you know, it's not, I don't think now it's a racial thing, because even if there's things that you are going to come against, whether it be because of the color of your skin or the social class that you've been placed in, if you continue to pursue it, regardless what you come across, whether it be obstacles, challenges, setbacks, or whatever, you continue on because you're trying to achieve something.
So Deidre, what I said prior, I agreed with you. I said it's not a race thing anymore. It's starting to be more of a class thing.
And that's what I'm saying.
To have versus to have not. And you still don't think that's the case?
I don't.
Huh?
I mean, because...
If it's not a class thing, why do you think Occupy Nation or Occupy whatever had that little scenario a few months ago? That was class. It was the have-nots battling against the ones that have.
Okay.
That's total class.
Okay, and
it's all about. And if it's not a class thing, why do we know about the 1% now? A year ago, nobody knew what the 1% is.
here's the thing. If it's a class thing, how did Obama get elected? Twice. If
he got elected by popping a vote. It has nothing to do with
people decide in their minds that they want to get up off their ass and do something, it has nothing to do with their class. It is, I want something better for my family, period. It has
and that's what President Obama is trying to do. And what you,
Oh, my God, nothing.
Go ahead. I'll wait till you finish.
I'm finished. Go ahead. I'm through talking.
Oh.
First of all, President Obama got voted because the haves and most of the have-nots voted for him. Okay? Your boy Romney. Oh, my God, David. Come on. Who is he going against? Romney? Every person that made $250 million, who was making $250,000 over, was going for, most of them were going for Romney because they didn't want their shit cut. Come on. Stop playing.
Okay.
Stop playing. So the ones that have, quote unquote, most of the Republicans were going for Romney. Come on. My president was like, that trickle down theory doesn't work because it will make the have-nots struggle even more in quote unquote in pursuit of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Their system is messed up.
How about I still don't agree, but
okay.
That's because I'm doing my damn thing, so forget everybody else.
Okay. I'm doing my damn thing too, but I never forget where I came from.
What does it have to do with forgetting about where it came from? What the hell? What does that
nothing.
Have to do with anything?
Nothing.
So what the hell are you saying for?
Nothing.
Whatever, dude. Again, I'm not gonna talk anymore.
Jeff, what's the next question?
Oh my goodness, y'all are killing me. I'm glad y'all are friends. So
he ain't my friend because he don't know where he came from.
Oh dear Lord. So same history question. African Americans in the 70s and 80s versus African Americans now. Is it a steady progression from then to now, or was it this whole, you know, go for your situation that, you know, that we have right now upon us right now? Do you think that was the genesis of the uprising then?
You talk about, Jeff, you talk about then or now?
Yes, from like the 70s.
Okay.
Yes.
But I don't think, you know what, I don't think the 70s were about, you know, go for yours, I go for mine. Everything was grassroots where, you know, we it's like it was a nation that we do our things together. I guess in the 90s, it became me. You know, I got mine. You gotta get yours. So, and I think now in 2013, I think that it's a mixture of both. There are people who are trying to uplift others, and there are other people who are like Deidre, wants to have that I got mine, you got to get yours mentality.
Are you seriously, dude?
You just
seriously?
Said it. You just said it. You just
seriously,
said it. You just said it.
Whatever, dude.
But I love you, boo. I love you.
Feel the love in the room.
Did you just say that no more than 5 minutes ago? I got my. You got
okay.
To enjoy.
Yes.
Did
yes. Yes. I did just say that. But really, dude. Really.
What?
You know what? It is what it is. You're
it is
absolutely
what it is.
Right. I am so about Deidre. F everybody else. Get out of my way. It is so about me.
That's what you said, babe. I'm just going about what you just said. That's all.
Cute. Right now, all I want you to do is kick rocks. Right now. That's all.
Oh,
just kick them.
Oh. Kicking rocks.
Okay. I'll do that.
Cute.
Yeah,
DJ wants you to know that you are free to kick rocks. Yes.
That's my life. Sure to happen.
Yeah, she wants you to go after that. Yeah, she wants you to go after that American dream that to kick rocks. Now you can choose to kick with little spurts, or you can choose to kick the rock a great distance. The choice is for you, sir.
I want him to take off his shoes and kick rocks.
Well, don't impose too much of your will now, you dictator. You just told the dude to kick rocks. Now you're trying to throw on how you got to kick the rock. I want you to touch.
Typical woman.
Ooh.
Really?
Wow.
Next time I see you, that's all I'm going to say. Next time I see you.
Uh-oh. I'm selling tickets. My name is Don King.
Deidre, I'm not scared of you, girl. How long have I been telling you this? I'm not scared of you. Don't sing
Ain't
it, bring it. You come on.
Nobody asking you to be scared. Not one time. And nobody said anything about being scared. I just said the next time I see you.
Okay. Well, you know where I live. You know where I am. Come on.
Whatever. Joey, where you at? Because I'm tired.
I'm right here. What you need?
America, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, America. I am so sorry.
Joke
I just
said,
had to apologize
I mean,
to America, that's all.
Apologize to America. Bro, you know, ain't nobody listening to us but the hood. You got to go ahead with that apologizing to America stuff. Boy, you kidding. Anyway, Joey said, my name is Bennett. I ain't in it.
No, I just been sitting back listening. Like, y'all really been going in. I thought when hearing the topic, I definitely wanted to see where everybody's head was going to go. And I definitely agree with a lot of what everybody has said. But just in particular, just that I really don't think nowadays, I do, and a lot of people, like when you say this in the class, like a lot of people are like, you know, Deidre, the kind of the reaction that you get that is not a race thing, that it's not a class thing. You know, a lot of people look at the person who said that like they're crazy. And the reality is, I think it's a continual mixture of both, because I don't think we all, as a society here in America, I don't think we're all on the same page. And so, you know, you have some people that think it, no, we do have access to the American dream. Then you have people, no, it's still us against them, or it's the have and the have-nots, and it's just a whole bunch of people just with different mentalities instead of people just really working together to build a better America. Because like I said, I mean, my whole thing is I think everybody has access to the so-called principles of that America was built on, or that whole the pursuit of happiness and freedom and things like that. But I don't think America realizes, one, we don't really teach it across the board, like, hey, you need to get out here and stop putting yourself in debt, you know, and generate more income. Like, we don't really teach how you can do that, because to be honest, like, I didn't learn anything about, like, the importance of like knowing what kind of, you know, what kind of interest rate your savings is going has, and how, you know, are you really going to generate savings or generate interest from a savings account in your bank account, or understanding the truth about banks and things like that and how they really work, or, you know, the understanding, like, does my vote really count? Like, all of that stuff you don't really, I didn't really learn about until I got older and I opened up a book for myself, or, you know, took an economics class in college and all those things. So I think we kind of really just hold our, we really hold ourselves back from reaching this American dream that we want or that we visualize, because we are, I mean, honestly, we're ignorant to a lot of things. And honestly, I just don't think now it's the white man or it's the man or whatever is holding us back. I just really think it's just us. It's just yourself, is your individual self that just is holding you back. Do I think it's the end of racism? No, it still exists. Classism exists. But I think kind of just the way the world is working now, it's just like people are saying, we don't even have to do no work. And people just set their own selves up. But just listening to you guys, I was just like, wow, y'all are serious. And it sounds awesome.
Joe, everything you said was just so on point, and I agree with you 100%. Everything you said is gospel. We have to, in order to, you know, get that piece of the pie, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, we have to read first. And we have to ask questions and indulge, and I think people don't do that. I don't think they want to know the necessities. They want to know the necessities, but they don't want to put forth any effort into doing it. You know, hence, you know, the get rich quick schemes, or everything that you see on TV that they try to force down our throats, where everything is just easy to obtain, and people just have to realize that, you know, nothing in this life comes quick. You have to work for it. You have to bust your ass. You know. And that's
Do black folks go after the American dream because we want to wear shackles and we want to take the American dream because of the fact that our slave masters said we couldn't have it?
Hold on, Jeffy, say that. I don't think I understood you say that one more time.
Are we just going after because of part of the slave mentality that you can't have the American dream because you're a slave? And now that we are, you know, got the Emancipation Proclamation for the acres and you, we have the ability to go after it. It's more obtainable now. It's right at our fingertips. Is that something that's just been in us since slavery, to just go after because we were told we couldn't have it for so long?
You know what, Jeff? I think going back to what Joey said, it's the mentality. It's the mentality of how you go at it. And I think one of the main reasons why, I don't even want to say black people, I just want to say people, period, whether you're white, Mexican, minority, whatever. I think what drives them is the fact that people say to them, you can't get it. You can't. It's out of your reach. So it's like negative connotations that people turn from a stumbling block to a stepping stone. It's the word no that drives them. But it all depends on your mentality. Like you said, when some people say you can't do it, they'll be like, "Well, fuck it, ain't no use to trying." But then there's people who are like, "The hell with you. If it's there for me to get, I'm going to go get it. And if I have to step on your neck to get it, that's what I'm willing to do." So I think, Jeff, it's just all about the person's mentality of how they want to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, I can get behind that.
Jeff, sorry, real quick, mm-hmm. just speaking mm-hmm. to, what you were saying, I do believe that there is still a slavery mentality in a lot of, not just African-American people, but in a lot of people in general, and not really realizing just how slavery, the slavery of America has affected generations upon generations. But now, like, this slavery to money, like being enslaved by the almighty dollar, being enslaved to drugs, being enslaved, like all of these things present a barrier to people of all race, color, creeds, whatever. All of these things present a barrier to us reaching this American dream, and then this continued cycle of debt that here in America is just so prevalent. Like, and I just really, I wish I could go back and fight just as hard as I fought to go to college. I made sure I didn't have any loans for college, but I didn't have that same kind of fight when I had to go to graduate school. I was just like, look, I'm tired of school. I'm going to take out these loans. And I'm going to do this. And then this just whole backwards thinking, look, nobody ain't ever showed me about no 401ks, no stocks and bonds and all this stuff. So I'm just going to make it the best way I can. And again, just staying in this perpetual state of ignorance, it's just one of those things. Or I'm only going, not that I did, but, having people say, I'm only going to vote for Obama because he's black. And, and it's just like, okay, but what ideals does he have? Do you understand what he believes in? Why do you want to, you can't, I mean, it's great that America has a black president, but you gotta put your vote out there more than just because the man is black, And so it's just like, we have to just get out of the slavery of purposeful ignorance. Because ignorance is not bliss. It isn't. And you can't just, and, I think, while, again, Deidre and Q both were just going back and forth, and it was really good content, because they're both saying things that are right. They I don't think either one of you guys were wrong. I think that your conversation that they was having, it speaks to the freedom in America and us choosing and deciding. But here now it's like, okay, we have our opinions, but where can we make a common ground so that the next generation that we have can really access this American dream, no matter what race they are, no matter what class they may be in? Like, how can we break down those barriers and help the next generation reach the American dream and do better than us, because ultimately that's what our goal should be. I think that's what the American dream really should be about, is helping the future generations progress further than what we went. And I think out of everything that was said tonight, I think that's the part of the American dream that has been completely done away with. And that's just my opinion, that furthering the future generation has just really been, I mean, we say it and we talk a mean game, but I think that's what's really going to bring America down, is if we forget to really bring our future generation forward.
Okay. Oh, shit. Hey, Joe. All
right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our time tonight is winding down. We do want to thank you wholeheartedly for joining us in this conversation. We want to thank Anonymous for calling in and truly thrusting us further in conversation. If you will have any last-minute comments you want to get in, 760-683-2662. Trying to see if there's anything being posted on Facebook that we can put up in these last couple of minutes. Any reflections from you guys tonight on the American dream? Anything that you possibly changed about your definition of the American dream or your vision, your visual?
I think we all can obtain it. I think, first of all, you have to, your mind frame has to be on point. You know, you have to be willing to work hard and make sacrifices. I mean, you know, there are things that are going to hold you back. You know, But you still have to, you know, do like Jimmy, like Coach Valvano, you know, don't give up. Don't ever give up. You know, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a bitch. But, you know, just work hard and, you know, don't take the easy way out. And another thing is, you know, it's okay to, you know, ask for help, or ask for a helping hand. It's okay. It's okay. You know, I think some people are, they're too proud, you know, to ask for help or get some type of assistance. But it's there to get, it's there to achieve.
How is it at the end of the show you're saying exactly what I've been saying all throughout the show? Yes, you did.
Oh, you two have been funny.
Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, at the end of the show, you wrap it up and you say everything that I've been saying. Okay,
no, I didn't.
I'm so done.
Oh, my goodness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, on that note, we want to say...
Dina, why you just been negative? You just been negative the whole show. What's wrong?
Ooh, call her out.
I've not been negative. So basically, you're saying that everything that you just said just now was totally negative?
No, I just said everything you said has been negative. Like, there's no class in... You know, it's not racism, and it's not classism either. What the hell? You know what it is? I think you've been on the road too long, and the fumes from the gravel just seep inside your brain. So you ain't making no sense whatsoever.
Okay.
I really wish you need you need to go listen to the Daggone show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want
to
thank you
to the
for
show.
Joining amongst
obviously
friends.
You do.
We want to
I don't need to do nothing.
To
you don't tell me.
Tell a friend to tell a friend.
I'm
tell a friend
about everything
friends.
I said.
You can reach us and listen to older shows at www.blogtalkradio.com/amongstfriends.
I can't believe that. Dude just came back.
You mean you can't believe that? You believe it? I just said anything you said.
All right.
Said.
And
yes,
Jeff, check us out.
Jeff, take me home. Please.
Amongst friends, all up in your area. We got top picks causing mass hysteria. Crew 4D, peak the technique. We hit you hard from the pew to the street. Amongst friends, for the ladies, for the men. Just 21, or wearing the pants. Fab or combo that you like. Come and get with us tonight. Amongst friends, fab or combo. Amongst friends, fab or combo. Grown and sexy baby, grown and sexy baby. Fabo combo, amongst friends. Fabo combo, grown and sexy baby. Grown and sexy baby. Ooh.
Ooh. All right. So, did you and you gonna answer Q's question or what? What's the deal?
Do what?
Are you going to answer Q's question?
Hell no, I'm not going to answer that silly ass question.
Oh. Okay. All right. Is it? Well, never mind. You're not going to answer it, so I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let you laugh.
Yeah, leave it alone.
All right. I pledge the allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah. What was up with the whole laid back death?
I was trying something different.
You was trying to do what?
I was trying something different.
Okay. And so, how do you feel about it?
I don't know yet. since you pulled me out of character, talk about Jeff. I know you're hosting, but I can still put you in the corner.
Oh, boy.
I should have said, look here, Mother Superior, I'll punch you in the neck. Leave me alone.
I guess you just have to prepare, folks, when you're going to switch it over. I said you just got to prepare, folks, when you're going to switch it over, because then it seems like it's a game.
No. No, because to me it was coming off as another side of my side, putting the questions to the masses, trying to get hard-hitting reactions. Yeah.
Okay.
Did everybody
I just want you to know that I love you.
Love
denied. Anyway, did everybody pray for Heather's trainer friend?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi. Hi, kids.
All right, we'll be back next week.
So, okay. So what's the deal? What's the deal with the studio?
Uh,
the deal with the studio is that here's how it's going to go down. Everybody has collectively agreed to do a once a month.
Okay.
Deidre is going to be going into the studio once a week. So, we'll talk about it at our next monthly meeting. How about that?
Okay, so where we going? When is that?
When are the meetings?
Deidre,
the next meeting until Jeff comes back.
Okay. I mean, like, do you normally, like, I guess, I didn't know if it was, like, you send out an email or whatnot.
I do.
Okay.
Y'all will be getting an email soon.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Q said he was going to cook for us last time, so we're going to Q's house.
I said what? Hold up. Wait. I said what? Wait.
Q, don't try to backtrack now because Brittany on the phone. Don't do that.
Hold up. When did I say that?
Dude, when we were talking at the last meeting that we had before Brittany, you said that you was going to cook for everybody at your house, so we're coming over there. That's what you said.
I mean, shit, if I said it, I've got no problem doing that.
You did. It's in the meeting minutes, man.
Okay, I ain't got no problem saying that shit. It is what it is. I'll cook.
Oh, I'm not eating.
You ain't got to eat. I'm starved.
I'll bring my own food. He might poison it.
First of all, you're under the assumption that I would let you in my house.
Ooh.
Dude, you had already said on Saturday that I could come lay my head on your couch. So why are you coming now?
I ain't say that shit.
I'm not gonna say nothing. Hey, I guess we'll try and pick a nice quiet place where we can go and congregate for this next meeting. We will need the ability to talk and conversate, and I don't want us yelling over the table because we can't hear each other, so let's just be mindful of that when we choose the next place where we're going to all meet up, since Deidre is back on the East Coast.
Hi. Later.
Okay.
Hi.
All right, y'all.
Agreed. Peace out.